The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, in my heart. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." And so the father divided the property between them. And after a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. And so he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough to eat? But here I am dying of hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.'" He got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. And his son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But his father ordered his servants, "Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fatted calf and slaughter it. And then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of his servants and asked what this might mean. And the servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fatted calf, because he has him back safe and sound." He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. And he said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fatted calf?" And he said to him, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and had come to life again. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Do you like that parable? You You know, it's one of my favorites. Of course, I say that about every gospel. Its parable is found only in Luke, and it's really helpful to go over some aspects of the parable. The first thing to notice, I think, is who is this parable told to? The beginning of the gospel says that tax collectors and prostitutes were coming to Jesus and listening to him, and the scribes and the Pharisees complained because Jesus ate with sinners. And so to them he told this parable. So he's talking to people who were good people, people who are following the law, trying to do all the right things. And he paints a picture for them that is really meant to be an extreme picture. He paints the picture of a younger son, representing the tax collectors and the prostitutes, who is a sinner, but not just any sinner. If you know the Jewish customs and traditions, this son is being painted by Jesus to be the biggest sinner in the world. Right? We might think murder is the biggest sin. That's really effectively what this son is. He says to his father, "Give me the inheritance." Right? It's like saying, "I wish you were dead. I'd be happier if I just had your money and you were out of my life." He's also disrespecting his father, which, of course, is the fourth commandment. And so he takes the money, and then he not only abandons the family, which is a bad thing back then, he abandons the faith, which is a hugely bad thing. He abandons the country and goes to a pagan country. And there, of course, he does things we can't mention in a family mass until he's out of money, and then a famine comes, and he's hungry. So he's foolish, in addition to being a sinner. And so he works with the pigs, which the Jews aren't allowed to do, serves them, and can't even eat the food they're eating, even though he longs to. He's hit rock bottom. And for the first time, he sees clearly that he really needs his father, really wants what he had. And so he thinks about coming back, but you got to realize this confession is not totally pure or genuine. He wants to go back simply so that he can get some food. And so he says, "I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell my father this. I'm going to say I'm sorry. Treat me as one of your hired servants." And so he goes back. And then the father in this story is being portrayed also in an extreme way. He's being portrayed as a foolishly loving, crazy loving, extravagantly forgiving father. First of all, what father would really take the inheritance and give it to his son before he dies? But he says, "Go ahead." And in the Jewish tradition, a father who's been so disrespected would be expected to stay in the house and make his son come back, get down on his knees, and beg for forgiveness and say, "I was wrong." But does he do that? No, he runs out and embraces his son. And his son starts to give him this apology, which isn't totally sincere, or isn't as far as it really needs to go, but he doesn't even want to hear it. Put the finest robe on him, a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. He embraces him, he hugs him, and he kisses him. Wow. That's what God does to each and every one of us and every person who's been away from God. And when we come to our senses, even if it's an imperfect contrition, we realize we're hungry, and we take one step to God. God comes to us and embraces us, and that loving embrace will heal us and so transform us that we will not only recognize we're forgiven of our sins, but his love will help us to see how beautiful God is and want to be a part of his life forever. enter the celebration. Now, isn't that a beautiful story? Oh, but then there's the older brother over here. It wasn't that beautiful to him, was he? Doing all the right things. But you know what's interesting? Does the father favor the younger son more than the older son? Really doesn't, does he? Because as crazy as it was for the father to run to the younger son, the father comes out of the banquet looking for his older son and comes to him in the same way and invites the older son to enter the banquet. But the older son refuses that invitation. Why? Because the older son has sinful attitudes in the heart. The younger son did things wrong that are easily observable from the outside. But all of us also have attitudes of our heart that are sinful or causes us to not experience God's love because we, like the older brother, might think that we're doing all the right things and that we deserve God's love, or we deserve the kingdom of heaven, or we deserve salvation. Or we might, like the older brother, be unable to forgive others that maybe need to be forgiven. Or we might compare ourselves with others and feel better than them. Or we may feel bitterness, anger, resentment, all those things that are coming up in the older son's heart. And so in these parables, we're meant to put ourselves into place. And yes, it's kind of understandable what the older son feels. Sometimes I feel that way. But every time that happens, we should recognize that just like the younger son, those are sinful attitudes too. And God, if we just make a simple step to come forward and to say to God the best we can, Lord, I'm sorry, I know I should forgive others. Lord, I'm sorry, I know I shouldn't feel angry or bitter. I know all you've done for me is so great that I should be grateful, but I'm finding it a hard time. And reach out for that father's embrace. He will embrace us too, just like he did that younger son. Put the ring on our finger, kill the fatted calf, embrace us and kiss us. And that love too will heal those sinful attitudes in our heart so that we can then be like the person in this story we're called to imitate, and that is the Father, to love others, to welcome them into the kingdom. And so all of us have a little bit of the younger brother and the older brother in us. And we're called to recognize our wrong actions, but also our wrong attitudes. And the best we can, ask for God's mercy and forgiveness. And then receive that forgiveness. So oftentimes I speak with people, and like the older brother, we fail to enter into the embrace of God's love because of bitterness, anger, resentment, hurts of the past. And we want to cling on to those because they're comfortable or familiar. It takes humility and courage to let go and to enter into God's embrace and be invited into the celebration. In this parable, of course, the celebration represents heaven, but the Father's embrace represents an encounter with God's love that we have right now that allows us to live this life with joy, knowing that the celebration awaits us. And so let this parable teach us to confess all our sins, our actions, and our attitudes, to accept God's love, to be like the Father, and to go out and invite others into the banquet.